Mix, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Oh, yes, we made it. It's Friday. A weekend's coming right up. Don't know what kind of plans you have, but I plan for some R&R. That's what I've got on the docket. We've had this sickness fly through the house. And everyone, with the exception of my wife, thank goodness, came down with that stomach bug. And then allergies from all this wind and terrible air. So, blah. Ready for the weekend, for sure. But before that, let's go through what's been going on this week. And as per usual, when I'm off, as I was last night, because of the Kings game, things happen. And so I'm going to talk about Franken. We got to get into it because there are some things that just have to be said about this. And it may surprise you, in fact, how I feel about this. Now, I'll start with my gut reaction to it as it happened on Thursday, yesterday. And then I will go kind of through some of the facts and some of the logic behind it. Other things happening in the news, too. I don't know if you saw this. It was just a blip, kind of a blip on the radar because of everything else going on. But we got some financial figures or some job numbers, I should say, for the U.S. We're doing great. 228,000 jobs added in November. And there's another statistic. That's huge, by the way. That's a huge number. Jobs are good. These are new jobs, newly created jobs, and unemployment, incidentally, another number that matters, is at a 17-year all-time low. Also very good. Now, you want to know how many jobs were created, and I'll explain why the statistic matters. Since the election, so the election happened in November of 2016, we found out that Donaldus Trumpus was to become the next president. And since that day, do you know how many jobs have been added? Net jobs added to the U.S. economy. 2.2 million. It's a stunning number. And I'll tell you, I bring all this up because you'll hear me on this program talking about, for example, with taxes. You don't tax the job you help the job creators are the top 1%. They're the ones the Democrats are always going after. They're the ones that are getting targeted. They're the ones that are getting fleeced every time you hear Bernie Sanders and his crew talking about what we ought to do to those evil rich people. Those are the job creators. And the reason that from day one they were creating jobs, knowing that Trump would be in, is with hopes that Trump would create and knowing that Trump would create a better business environment. This is a reflection of real optimism. And it's these 228,000 jobs. I guarantee you these are not 1% people. I guarantee you that these are middle income, lower income people that have jobs that they didn't have and wouldn't have had if a continuation of Obama's policies were kept in place. So think about that. Now, we also have had these riots happening in Jerusalem and surrounding areas throughout the Arab world. And the press is making this big to-do about it. It's like it's news. Because the Palestinians have announced a day of rage. Look, for the Palestinians, in case you didn't know this, the Palestinians' day of rage is 365 days a year. It's what they do. These people are legitimate professional agitators. Now, I'll give you some more detail about that as we go through the show. Also, celebrating the first day of Hanukkah. So those of you observing this holiday, I know this is a very special evening. And anyway, our thoughts are with you. Now, the big news today, before I get to Franken, all of this comes together. This all connects. And I will connect the dots for you. But the big news today is that the principal key and first accuser to come out against Roy Moore. Now, this woman's name is Beverly Young Nelson. You'll remember she's the grandmotherly looking lady who trots out with Gloria all red and tears. Oh, Alfred, excuse me. Roy Moore, he alleges that he attempted to rape her. And she and her account, by the way, was particularly believable because she had this yearbook, and the yearbook had been inscribed by Roy Moore. Now, when it happened, one of the things that very quickly came out when there was a press conference given by Roy Moore's team, they said, look, this writing here doesn't match up. I mean, this looks like a signature up here, and then there's all this text, and then it's signed Roy Moore, D.A. He never signed his name that way. He would, however, sign his name Roy Moore, D.A., when he wasn't signing it, when it was his clerk back when he was a judge signing paperwork, because the DA would be the initials of the clerk that was signing for him. So, for example, if I were to sign for Judge Roy Moore, or any judge, this is common practice to this day, many judges I'm familiar with do it this way, I would sign for the judge and write SM, as those are my initials. And it became even more suspicious because you remember this, and I have the document here. It was Roy Moore who, at a minimum, as judge, dismissed this lady's divorce proceedings and did so with a signature that looked exactly like the one in the yearbook. This was years later, right? This is like in 99, I think. Signs Roy Moore, DA, because it was his clerk at the time who had those initials. Well, lo and behold, today, and if you haven't heard about this, it's crazy. The woman admitted to forging it. The woman who has become, I mean, opened the floodgate to this, who started this entire flood of accusations against Moore, has come out and admitted it. And ABC News, the same ABC that can't get any news story straight, by the way, is actually coaching her through this interview in a way to make her, to make it not seem that bad. So I saw the headline and I said, all right, I gotta see the interview. And I'm watching the interview, and the interview is, I want to say the whole thing was maybe about 5 minutes, maybe a little bit less. It was long, 5 minutes in TV land, in media, in 24-hour news cycle. 5 minutes is an eternity. So this thing went long, and I saw it, and I go, where is it? They buried it in the kind of middle end of the entire interview. So if you, for example, went online and were to click on the story, trust me, you would run out of time, patience, effort before you even got to the clip that mattered. And in the clip that mattered, it was Tom Lamas, and he was coaching her. He said, let me see here. I got this right here. So what he says, this is just so fascinating. He goes, Nelson admits, this is Tom Lamas for ABC News. Nelson admits she did make notes to the inscription, but the message was all Roy Moore. And here's a continuation of the interview. This is what Lamas is now putting. You listen to how he's putting words into Beverly Nelson's mouth.
He signed your yearbook.
He did sign it.
And you made some notes underneath.
Yes.
What do you think about the Republicans that say they believe people like you, but they'd rather have a Republican in that seat than a Democrat?
Is the party more important, really, than what happened? I feel like my incident is being just swept under the rug, literally, because he's a Republican. It sickens me to wonder what may go on with him if he gets into office, maybe, you know? He could be doing this still. We don't know.
This woman is a bald-faced liar. That's where this is headed for me. And we need to get real about being too quick to sentence somebody to what is the equivalent of reputational death over an accusation. And even an accusation that might have something that has some semblance of legitimate proof. You're telling me, I'm trying to follow this logically before I even get to the hocus pocus here going on behind the scenes with Gloria Allred. Because you know, this is the woman represented by Gloria Allred, who's a known agitator and advocate of the Democratic Party, is using this woman, literally using this woman, to do the devil's work down in Alabama. That's what's going on. But before I even get to that aspect of it, let's just logically take this through. Somehow, on this yearbook, in this page, in this inscription, the signature, okay, the signature looks exactly the same as the one and the way and the style that it's written, that it's signed in this woman's divorce proceedings that were done years later. Suspicious? Anybody? Nobody? Moreover, let me ask you this. If you have a divorce case, and suddenly at some part of the process, the judge who is reviewing your case, signing off on it, doing anything on it, is the same person who attempted to rape you as a teenager, you okay with that? I mean, it's a legitimate question. What normal person is not okay with that? What normal person wouldn't file paper a judge? You can do it very easily. It's true. I don't necessarily know how it works in Alabama, but here in California, you paper a judge for basically next to nothing. Oh, papering. Oh, it means you request a different judge. That's it. And you can do it because, you know, hell, even Orange County, L.A. County, small places, you know, you might get a judge who's your neighbor. You might get a judge who, maybe you've known from school and he's kind of a jerk. You can there's no reason required. I'm trying to think. It doesn't really require any significant disclosure of what grievance, particular grievance there is. But it suddenly becomes an issue in the 11th hour of a race with national importance. And of all the people you go to Gloria Allred. And I said that from the very beginning. The thing just, it stunk back then. It stinks even more now. And once you're in a lie, once you have some part of this has been misrepresented, it taints the entire accusation, does it not? Press conference, November 13th, Beverly Nelson Young talking about the yearbook. Listen very carefully to her words.
Mr. Moore happened to notice it, and he asked me if he could write in my yearbook, and I felt flattered, and I said yes. He wrote in my yearbook as follows: to a sweeter, more beautiful girl, I could not say Merry Christmas. Christmas 1977. Love, Roy Moore, Old Hickory House. And it signed it, Roy Moore, D.A.
Oh, and she's crying and she's in tears and everything. Look, listen to me. She's a liar. I'm sorry if you don't like Roy Moore. I'm sorry if you can't stand Donald Trump. I'm sorry if you want to tilt the political fortunes away from the Republicans. I get all of that. But we cannot devolve into a country that settles our political scores with liars, with exaggerations, with unfounded, untested, unproven allegations. This is not how it works. And then Gloria Allred. Oh, my God. Don't even get me. Listen to this. She's getting asked about this a few days later because she asked to. This was back in November 16th. And MSNBC was even doing a bit of journalism here. And so you got Katie Tour kind of skeptically asking her about these mishmash of handwriting and signatures and everything. Listen to this exchange.
At this point, I have no reason to believe what he wrote in the yearbook is anything but his signature.
Does your client, Beverly Young Nelson, remember him signing it?
Well, she remembers being with him. It was on the counter. She alleges that he took it that he signed it, as far as she knows, I mean, there's no reason for her to think it's anything but his signature.
But did she see him sign it?
I haven't asked her if she saw him, but we did describe what happened that evening in question, that what she alleges was that she put it on the counter, that I think that he asked to sign, or that he did sign it. That's all.
She's a liar, too. Two lying women with agendas. So I don't, you know, I happen to think that Roy Moore is a bit of a nut. I do. There probably is some better candidate out there to serve in the Senate. But he does not deserve to get derailed this way. So there that is. When I come back, if I've got time, I'm going to get to Franken, too, because I have strong feelings on this as well. But I've got a few more things to finish up here. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC, covering ground here on the breaking news, faster than the speed of light. No, but I'm trying to slow it down, make it clear and comprehensive. So the news, big news today, being that Roy Moore's chief and most prominent, and I'm in quotation marks here, air quotes, most prominent accuser, given that she had that yearbook that was signed by him. I mean, how could you deny with such an amorous inscription that there was something untoward going on between this 32-year-old man and this 16-year-old girl? What possibly could you say to dispute her allegations? Well, the answer is today a whole heck of a lot, because it turns out it was... She forged most, if not all, of this inscription, right down to his signature. And I'm sorry. Look, did you ever sign people's yearbooks? Do you remember any of this? I mean, this is a time-honored tradition. I don't think they do it other places, too many other places in the world. But, you know, at the end of the school year, you get a yearbook. And I always love this. It's always my favorite thing. Except I was always disappointed that I didn't get very many signatures because I wasn't as popular as some of the other kids. But anyway, but go back into your yearbooks and look. Did anybody write you a note in the yearbook without signing it? Did anybody write a note in your yearbook without writing Bob or Susie or, you know, if they were really nerdy, their whole name written out, every letter? No, the whole point of it is there's a thought. And then a signature. In fact, that's the way it works. And you remember that. You do that into your, if you're writing in a yearbook, I don't know, maybe he didn't at all. Nothing in this was hit from him, potentially. But if you write in a yearbook, you sign your name. And now she admits she's the one who signed his name in the yearbook. So what, the whole thing just stinks to me, top to bottom. But the most fascinating thing is, too, is how the media is handling this. And they're handling it. They're in shock. OK, to them, this now their universe is falling apart. So Tom Lamas, I played you the clip. In fact, really quickly, let's play this clip again. This is because I want to focus now. I was talking about the first part of it. The first part of it is him coaching this now, I think, discredited accuser of Roy Moore, candidate for U.S. Senate, coaching her about, okay, so he signed your yearbook. Okay, he signed it. He's putting words in her mouth. But then pay extra close attention to what he begins to say after that.
He signed your yearbook.
He did sign it.
And you made some notes underneath.
Yes.
What do you think about the Republicans that say they believe people like you, but they'd rather have a Republican in that seat than a Democrat?
Is the party more important, really, than what happened? I feel like my incident is being just swept under the rug, literally, because he's a Republican. It sickens me to wonder what may go on with him if he gets into office, maybe, you know. He could be doing this still. We don't know.
He's more interested, in other words, he's more interested in the race. He spends like no time questioning her about the forgery, which goes to the heart of her credibility. It calls into question the very piece of evidence that they've been trotting out. It's not like this is an insignificant thing. This is something that they have been using to bolster her claims for 23 days since this first came out. It's the very first thing Gloria Allred put up on the board. Look here. This is what we've got. And then when Roy Moore's people dared get up and say, it doesn't look like the judge's signature. By the way, Roy Moore, DA, this is how he signed. This is not his signature. This is how he would have his clerk sign his documents. And then lo and behold, the signature in the yearbook looks a whole lot like the signature on this woman's, this accuser's divorce dismissal, signed by Roy Moore, DA, by the clerk of his court. Pooh-poohed that. No problems there. And now just want to gloss over it that their key piece of evidence is literally on fire. I'm going to tell you what I think about Franken. This is important. I don't think he should have resigned. And I'm going to tell you why after the news. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation. Stay tuned for John Wolf up next.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, do I have your attention when I just said there at the end that I don't think that Franken should have resigned? And I will tell you that it comes really down to a couple different, two very separate, distinct thoughts. Number one, the sexual harassment business is devolving rapidly into hysteria. Crazy hysteria. Two, every time, in every process that we have in this country, designed by our founders and tested, verified, supported by the experience of time, the burden of proof has always been on the accuser, not the accused. This is what sets us apart from banana republics, from past deplorable dictatorships like those in Nazi Germany and in the Soviet Union, and even today in China. Let's not kid ourselves. What do you think Otto Warmbier, you know, what do you think that went down in North Korea? He didn't. That wasn't a, well, all right, now, geez, we really got to prove that he deserves, you know, to do 15 years in hard labor. No. Nothing like that. And I actually come back to that later if time permits, because there's a lesson there. So what do we have here? Here's Al Franken's. Here's the pertinent part of what he said yesterday on the floor of the U.S. Senate about the allegations.
Over the last few weeks, a number of women have come forward to talk about how they felt my actions had affected them. I was shocked. I was upset. But in responding to their claims, I also wanted to be respectful of that broader conversation, because all women deserve to be heard and their experiences taken seriously. I think that was the right thing to do. I also think it gave some people the false impression that I was admitting to doing things that, in fact, I haven't done. Some of the allegations against me are simply not true. Others I remember very differently.
And so it continued. Now, I don't like Al Franken one bit. I think the people of Minnesota are stupid for electing him. I think that as a comedian, he was a vulgar, gross guy. There are pictures of him in diapers, you know, in these sort of sexualized poses. Yuck! I wouldn't want that guy anywhere near the Senate if I was a voter in Minnesota. But guess what? They elected him. And now we have three hysterical women coming forward. And yes, I am saying hysterical women coming forward and, oh, he touched my butt, and oh, he maybe cupped my breasts over a, you know, plate or tried to kiss me, undoing the wishes, the legitimate wishes of thousands and thousands and thousands of people who went to vote. I, for one, want to fight my enemies fair and square. I, for one, believe in the power of ideas as a means, as a way to win battles with my political opponents. I see Franken and others in politics that, you know, are now being accused of sexual harassment. And yes, I don't want him there, but I don't like this process one bit. I don't like it one bit. I think, you know, there is a reason, another part of this too. There's a reason why we put the burden of proof on the accuser. Because you can't just, you don't want to live. Even if you think you might be perfect and you might literally be Mother Teresa or one step below. But you don't want to live in a world where at any given moment, somebody can potentially come along and destroy everything you have worked for over a crackpot allegation. And this is not me saying that somebody's a crackpot or yes or no. But the point is, every allegation needs to be tested. And the same way that it's beginning to fall apart against Roy Moore, it could fall apart against Franken. So he shouldn't have resigned. I'm actually going to share a story with you how it pertains. This is very personal to me because you know what? That's personal. I got a short story to tell you and then give you some more thoughts on this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, sweet James Bergner. This is the guy to call if you've had an injury, an accident, or the victim of some bad thing that's happened to you. Don't want to go at it alone, okay? This is the guy that you want in your corner, fighting for you, making sure that the insurance company, that the people that did whatever they did to you, do not have their way with you, do not get in the way of you getting the justice that you deserve. It's very important. So it's easy. You give him a call, talk to him or somebody there at his office, all great people, all top-notch professionals. Very caring. We'll go through your case with you. It doesn't cost you anything to make the call. And there's no recovery, no fee. So, you don't pay him anything until at the end of your case, if and only if you get something. So easy. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right, with all of these allegations swirling, I didn't want to go here, but I feel like I have to. Because I don't want to be one of these Me Too dummies. It's starting to be this way. If you were raped by Weinstein, for example, or Bryan Singer, or whatever all these say, this is one thing, okay? It's crime. Now, I get it. A sexual assault can involve some touching and something less and short of a rape. But let me tell you what happened to me when I was 18. I worked one summer for a company that was a sponsor of the Carlsbad Film Festival. I don't know if you know where this is. It's in the western part of the Czech Republic. And there's a big, fancy hotel there. The hotel is so big and fancy that it became quite famous. It was the basis for the movie Grand Hotel Budapest. Have you seen that movie? The Wes Anderson movie? That's because Wes Anderson went there for the Carlsbad Film Festival, fell in love with this charming, magnificent Grand Hotel, and then made a movie kind of commemorating it. At the time, well, still today, it's the most important central location for this film festival. And if you want to be in with the film festival and you want access to people, you've got to get in with this hotel. So, around this time, I was getting a lot of access because of by virtue of working for this company, but also because I befriended the general manager of the hotel, who in my naivete thought was a married guy with two beautiful daughters. And I will tell you this right now. I was 18, maybe 19. These girls were beautiful. So I thought, great, I get in with dad. Maybe I get a chance with one of the daughters. Well, at one point, I'm in the hot tub with this general manager and with, who am I with? Oh, I'm with it's some famous Czech TV personalities and an actress. I'm not going to name any names. And this general, well, I'll tell you what happened. I all of a sudden felt a leg going up my inner thigh. Now, I thought, well, what did I think? I'm like, wow, that's got to be a mistake, man. Things happen in the hot tub. So I jiggled my little rear end over a little bit. Oh, and this is Europe, by the way. We're all naked. I'm just going to say that right now. This is a very European experience. I jiggle over a little bit, and all of a sudden, sure enough, there goes his leg again up toward my you-know-what-sees. I bolted out of there as fast as I could. But that night, I go over to my my friend's house, and I said, Zdenek, did you know this guy? Look, this just happened to me. He's like, oh yeah, everybody knows he's gay. It's like the worst kept secret in town. I'm like, you know what? That would have been helpful information to me some time ago. But the point of the story is, it's a funny story. This is skin on skin contact. You know, if this were interesting and if I wanted to make political hay out of it and if this guy was running for office or something, I guess I could bring up something that happened back in 99. I guess I could. But you know what? The world, we are programmed as humans. And I will say this mostly for men, sometimes for women. We are programmed for conquest. And I don't know if I necessarily want to live in a world that by one accusation alone and two, by virtue of any effort to show interest or to pursue, that we are entering a zone of criminalized, forbidden conduct. It's not how the law works, and it really isn't the way our at the end of the day, our morality ought to work either. And I'll explain more about that when we come back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, gotta go.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Coming back just briefly to these Jerusalem riots or riots around the world surrounding Trump's announcement earlier this week that the U.S. Embassy would move to Jerusalem. You've got to understand why the peace process has been frustrated all these years. And I have my wife's cousin. He's over in Palestine right now, but he's a little bit of a nut. So Robbie knows him. He's already over there saying, it's complicated. I don't know. It's just I'm going down a rabbit hole. Here's the deal. The Palestinians do not want peace. And do you know why? It is the same freaking reason that Jesse Jackson doesn't want racial equality. See, if in America we had racial equality, what the heck would Jesse Jackson fundraise off of? What would he do? Literally, what would be Jesse Jackson's purpose in life? Answer, zippity-doo-dah, nothing. And the same is true in Palestine. It's always about bucks. I hate to say this. Guys, it's not any more complicated than that. They fundraise their entire existence off of playing the victim card, which is why from Bill Clinton to Jimmy Carter to Reagan to Bush to Obama, no one has been able to get it done. And you know why? They're too busy. They're too busy crawling up Palestine's rear end. These Palestinians, look, literally somebody's got to sit them down and say, shut up. Okay? We can play this game of whose land it was when it was. Palestine is a fiction. Okay? I mean, if you, it's the same thing. I saw a funny article. I saw a funny article that Palestine, in retaliation to the announcement that Trump was moving the embassy to Jerusalem, recognized Texas as being a part of Mexico. And the answer was, well, you know, and I think it's a joke. I assume that that headline is a total joke. But the point of it, the point of the humor is, well, it was annexed by through a violent act. Well, you know what? History is full of violent annexations. And I explained how, well, the point is, how far back do you keep going? Every country, every border is the result of some kind of annexation or violent act. You get that? All right. So when we come back, the left, interestingly enough, is starting to circle its wagons around Franken. I think this might signal a turning point in this whole Me Too hysteria. And I think actually this is a good thing. But I want to examine it because really, trust me, we do not want to be in a country that is going to continue down this road. We do not. All right, back after the 8 o'clock news with John Wolf for another hour of Sam Nation. Don't go anywhere.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Time is 8:04 p.m. Friday night. 800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program, sam@samnation.com is my email. I check that periodically throughout the show, so email me if you want to talk. Now, have you ever dealt with an insurance claim? I'm not talking about, you know, personal injury case like with Sweet James, but, you lose something stolen from your house. You call up the insurance company. And what does the insurance company ask for? Any ideas? First thing comes to mind? Anyone? Police report. Follow me. Hey, you all right? Fine. Got a claim. Show me a police report. Now, there's a whole host of reasons why they do that. It's not necessarily important here. But it adds credibility to your... It is a contemporaneous, credible, validating piece of documentation supporting your loss. I am extra suspicious of women who come out years later, after any criminal statute of limitations passes, and come out with accusations. I am, when as it relates to this thing. I understand that it happens. I understand the reasons why. I get that there's shame. And I told you about my personal experience of getting molested in a hot tub by a gay man back in 1999. Did not enjoy it, but, you know, on balance, kind of a funny story. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with me. I just think it's a funny story. By the way, he gave me an umbrella. And for the longest time, I carried that umbrella around and I had, let me tell you about how I got this umbrella. You're never going to believe it. And then one of my friends stole the umbrella and moved back to England with the umbrella. And I was gone forever and there with it, my conversation piece. Anyway, when you talk about, I'm going to say it, Leanne Tweeden, I get it. Okay. I don't doubt her that it happened. What she's alleging, by the way, in California carries, a 6-year statute of limitations. Okay? And here we are 16 years later talking about her, whatever it is. It's a long time. Fine. All right. I get it. But how is it relevant? Why now? Is it relevant because hashtag me too? Is that why? Is it hashtag I'm getting my, 10 seconds of fame? Is that what this is? I think it was probably more relevant, honestly, if it had come out during perhaps one of his many tirades about women's rights. Because the real crazy thing about Al Franken is what a hypocrite he is. He's a hypocrite, okay? The guy's typical. I don't know. I mean, I don't act that way. I don't go and pose with pictures. I put my hands on people's butts. I mean, I'm gross. But he does. And then he goes to the Senate and la-di-da, and I'm a big protector of women. And this is like, I'll never forget, a totally racist tirade I witnessed Senator Ted Kennedy give to a little guy operating the train under the Capitol building. I was there. I was a 16-year-old kid. I saw it. My own eyes. And I thought, oh, there's this champion of civil rights, and here he is, you know, treating this poor, you know, black operator there like a piece of crap. It was the saddest thing. Somebody on TV the other day said Ted Kennedy was legendary in how well he treated his staff. Okay. So I get the hypocrisy angle. But the only reason it's coming out now is it's a look at me and I'm cool and I'm special and I don't like this. So imagine my shock when I found myself agreeing with Mika Brzezinski. And this is what Mika said today on MSNBC and Morning Joe about how she doesn't believe all women. Now, I don't agree with all of this. And I'm going to unpackage this in a right afterwards. But listen very carefully to this.
I would think a dress owned by Monica Lewinsky would bring down a president, but it didn't. So I'm surprised that you think a comedian's picture of a performer, Playboy model who goes on Hannity, who voted for Trump. You know, I see some politics there, but I haven't brought that up every step of the way because, of course, in this Me Too environment, you must always just believe the women. And I think that there's a lot of reasons why we need to look at the women seriously and believe them. I'm just wondering if all women need to be believed. And I'm concerned that we are being the judge, the jury, and the cops here.
Mika Brzezinski's gratuitous reference to Leanne being a former Playboy model is absurd. It's disgusting and it's shameful. But you know what? This is the first, and I think, fairly dramatic shift from the hysterical left on this issue, and it's all because of Franken's resignation. Now, what has been the narrative? What has been the narrative here for the past, oh, I don't know how many days? The Democrats must clean house of all of their accused. No, it doesn't matter if they're guilty or not, or if they actually, whatever. They must clear the deck, because then they've got to get out their knife sharpeners, you know, you know, sharpen their knives to go after the Republicans, because, you know, Roy Moore guy's probably going to get in, and they've got that Donald Trump pervert sitting in the Oval Office. You could almost hear this painful irony coming from Al Franken as he's resigning. He talked about this. Listen to this. But beyond just the words, you can almost sense that he's saying, this is crazy. I have to leave and be sacrificed.
I, of all people, am aware that there is some irony in the fact that I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office, and a man who has repeatedly preyed on young girls' campaigns for the Senate with the full support of his party.
You know what he sounds like to me? He sounds like somebody who is before a kangaroo court in some communist show trial. I have done the things that I am. I mean, and then a little bit of defiance. I did not. Some of these things are simply not true. And this poor guy, he realizes in this very speech that he is being sacrificed. And Mika Brzezinski the next day when she's on Morning Joe is saying the same thing, essentially. I haven't brought up that every step of the way, my doubts, right? Her doubts about this. Because, of course, in this Me Too environment, you must always just believe the women. And then she says, there's a lot of reasons why we need to look at the women and seriously believe them, but maybe not all of them. Here's an idea, Mika. Maybe we give this process of accusing people some time for facts to come out before we make people walk the plank. The weaponization of accusations incentivizes false accusations. If I said this from day one during this, when this whole thing began going like crazy, what did I say? I said, look, imagine you're at a job somewhere. You're a subordinate of a man. The man has the job you covet. Accuse him. Get rid of him. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. Company won't want to take the risk because, you know, this environment believes the woman against whatever. This is going to get misused. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out. So I loathe Al Franken. I do not wish Al Franken political success, but I do not want to see him disposed of in this fashion. Now, I'll tell you, the greatest part of the quote here from Mika Brzezinski is, I'm concerned we're being judge, jury, and the cops. And if you look, I'll tell you, this is great. She then goes on to say, I'm very torn apart by it. But I feel that to just be on one side of all these stories is very dangerous. And that's exactly it. Now, there are other people, by the way, today, other conservatives. I found this out. So what happened was I saw Al Franken's speech. And I immediately felt ill. I just felt ill. Then I felt some delight. And the delight came from the fact that the sexual harassment thing from the get-go, from the beginnings of time of my conscious life, was always a means for Democrats to politically destroy Republicans. Yeah, this was, and I always talk about Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas, right? That just nonsense allegations that were used to target political opponents. It's the same as the cry of racism. That's a very popular thing. The left, you're a racist. Republicans are racist. They hate babies. They hate poor people. They hate women. The war on women, right? That's a liberal term. So this has always been a political tool. And the political tool of destruction suddenly has turned on Democrats. That is the real story here. This politically destructive mechanism that has been assembled carefully and put together by the political left in this country is now, has now, it's like a one of those, you know, the sci-fi movies with the AI robot. You know, you program the killer robots to go out there and kill on your behalf. And then one day there's a short circuit and then the AI robot turns on you. And, you know, next thing you know, you're running away from your own killer robot. And that is what is happening to Franken. And he's sitting there and it's hitting him. It's striking him. The irony is not lost on him. It's also not lost on me. Now, I have another thought for you here. I remember I began saying this, the narrative has been the Democrats are clearing the deck. They're getting rid of their Conyers and their Frankens and all their accused persons, right? All right. They're not waiting for any investigation. They're not sending it to the House Ethics Committee. They're just telling them, time to go, pal. You're done here. You don't quit. We're gonna make your life miserable. We're going to lock the bathroom door. You know, you're not going to even be able to take a pee anywhere near your office. I don't know. I don't know what they do to senators if they're blacklisted. But whatever. You get the picture. We're going to make this a hostile environment for you. You quit right now. Save your dignity. And we will, you know, throw you a nice going away party and buy you a cool hat. I don't know what the story is. Meanwhile, the Democrats would say, look at the Republicans. They're standing behind Trump and they're standing behind Roy Moore. Right now, Trump is in Pensacola. At the Pensacola rally in Florida, big rally, and he just went out there maybe, you know, 30 minutes ago or so and said, get out the vote for Roy Moore. I stand behind Roy Moore, took a pot shot at the accuser, who turns out is lying, you know, sack of you know what. And And the narrative, of course, from the Democrats is we look at those Republicans. They are, you know, I can already see the headlines tomorrow. Here's an alternative headline. And I know you tune into this program because you are tired of the BS headlines out there from the mainstream media. I'm going to give you an alternative Sam Nation headline. Here it is. Republican Party stands for reason. Democrats for optics. Break that down a little more. How about this? The Democratic Party is killing off some of its best people. And Franken, you know, I don't like him, but you know, I think he actually was a very effective Democrat and was very good. I don't think Bernie Sanders is very effective. I think Franken's actually dangerously effective. It's why, between you and me, that's why I don't like him. I mean, he's effective. They're killing off their most effective. They're killing themselves, right? They're committing suicide, cutting off important parts of their body to appease the gods of political correctness, to come up with a story, to come up with a storyline that isn't even true. Sexual harassment isn't a Republican thing or a Democrat thing. It's a human thing. Meanwhile, the Republicans are the party that, you know, are out there saying, hey, all right, let's wait to see how this is. And accusations and accusations. By the way, that lady's a lying, you know what? And so, yeah, we're going to stick with our guy until we're proven otherwise. You know, I kind of think that our political pundits, all those people out there, all those smart geniuses that paid big bucks to be on TV and talk to, you know, 50, 40 million people a night about what they think, I've totally lost this bigger picture of it. Ironically, the Republicans may end up being the party. The Trump Republicans may end up being the party that have principles. And these principles are rooted in law. These principles are rooted in justice. These principles are rooted in common sense. And yes, our world, our America should be a country where you are presumed innocent and your accuser is the one with the burden of proof. That's how our legal system works. And it's really how our political system should work, too. I don't really see it any other way. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'd be remiss to not mention today that my dog, my poor dog, would have been 12 today. And as you know, we lost her on October 29th. And kind of met a very violent end at the hands of our neighbors, German Shepherds. I will tell you this, though. I don't know if you've had this with an animal that you've lost or maybe even a person. You still feel them. I don't want to sound crazy to you. I know I already did that in the last segment, so I don't want to sound totally nuts. But, you know, I'll be around the house and I will hear her squeak. I will. I'll just hear Lucy, like I'll hear something, and then I'll see a little like black shadow because she was a little black and tan dachshund and, you know, was not very high up off the ground. So, you know, just a kind of a low level shadow kind of whiz by as it would have when she was around. So we still miss her terribly and hope that those squeaks and those shadows continue to remain at our still quite empty house, to be honest. All right. Let's talk about something happier. Sexual harassment. I have another thought about this, incidental to this topic. You know, the Democratic Party, in supporting the rights of women, right, their legendary support of women's rights, one of their big things that they have pushed legislatively, historically, both on the federal level and on state level here in California, has been what? Workplace sex. Now, I'm not actually talking about sex, you know, on in your cubicle, but I'm talking about relations between whom? the boss and the employee, right? And they've wanted to ban this. And why? And you know, have you heard the logic for this, right? The idea of banning this type of these type of relations is what? Because it's ripe for abuse, right? There's a it's abusive. I've heard a lot of people talking about it now, and this whole Me Too campaign is really bringing this back into the forefront. We really need to put in stricter rules and stricter limitations on this because of the power dynamic. And it's that power dynamic. All this toxic masculinity out there, and these male bosses taking advantage of young, impressionable women. All right. Let me ask you something. If it's not allowed, what if it's consensual? And why should that matter, or better yet, why should that not matter? See, I thought that the entire political dogma of the left consisted basically around the idea a woman has a right to choose what to do with her own body. And I'm going to forget the boss. What if the woman wants to have sex with her boss? Are you the government telling her she can't? Do you really want to go on the record to say that woman cannot do with her body as she wishes? Do you understand how dumb that is? Logically, you've got to take things apart sometimes and look at it. It's absurd. It's a step backwards, not to mention the whole idea that we've spent the better part of 200 years working past class society, right? You know, you've got this strata, and then you've got this class, and you've got these, and these people don't talk to those people, and those people don't talk to these people. And now, all of a sudden, it's a whole, you know, reintroduction of a caste system. Well, this person's a middle manager, and this person is an upper manager. And those two managers, well, I don't think, nope, no sex. No sex for you two. I don't get it. It's kind of prudish. Is that the word? Now, it depends on if it's coerced. That ought to be the language that's there, right? That ought to be the defining characteristic. But it can't become coerced after the fact. It can't become coerced when it's convenient for the female accuser, for the male accuser. And I always bring it all the way back to, why do you think 50 Shades of Grey is flying off the shelves? I think it's all these women who don't want a rich, powerful man having their way with them. Please. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolfe up next.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 8:35 p.m. Friday night. I am excited to start the weekend, but I also need to finish this show because we have so many things still to talk about. One of the headlines I saw today was, is there a growing rift among Trump voters? Is Trump's base splintering? And I saw that in the morning. And then this afternoon, I went to support my good friends, John and Ken, from another station, doing a really important fundraiser. And I went to support them, and I go down there, and I'm at the Crystal Cathedral, which is over here in Orange County. And I look into the audience there. A lot of their listeners came out to support them, and there's this row of women there. And they're all wearing pink Women for Trump t-shirts. So I sit down with them and start talking to them about everything, and I'm just curious to get their opinion. But here's the most important part of it. I said, well, I notice you're wearing sweaters. It's not that cold this afternoon. It wasn't, at least earlier today. So did you hide those shirts? And they said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. We we didn't take these sweaters off until we got into the building. So they wore sweaters when it was relatively warm outside and took them off in the air-conditioned building. This is exactly how women do things, right? I mean, it's, did no woman ever. What's the point? The point is that people are not admitting to their beliefs except in environments where they feel supported, like they do with these guys who we've always, you know, seen eye to eye on the Trump phenomenon. And so I think that's happening across America. I think there is underreported support for this president. And I know it's anecdotal, but I relied on this so much leading up to the election, and I was one of the few people that were right, that were willing to go on the record. So listen to me is my point. Now, as for sexual harassment, and my little idea here earlier that, well, if Democrats really want to outlaw workplace intercourse, sexual relations, whatever you want to call it, between bosses and their underlings, doesn't that prevent or bar the woman from having a right to have consensual relations with a partner of her choice? Right? Isn't this kind of antiquated? So this is what the Democratic Party is about. This is what the left is about. Generally, government wants to intrude on your choices everywhere you turn. This is their thing. I was talking to a guy I met, and he's actually, I've looked him up. I'm going to meet him. I met him in Barbados when I was on vacation. He's a very well-known entertainment lawyer here in town, in L.A. And we began talking. He said, I wanted to break into this business. I wanted to be an entertainment lawyer. And this guy went to Harvard. He's like, you know, cum laude, big time Harvard educated guy, super smart, very qualified, couldn't break into the market, the job that he wanted. And he went to a firm and he offered to work for free for 6 months to break in. You know, you can't go to a firm and say, hey, I'll work for $5 an hour. I'll work for $5 an hour, you know, because of minimum wage. It's one example where the government thinks that they know better. The government thinks that they're going to take care of you and protect you. But in so doing, they actually end up taking away your rights. They take away your right to contract with a future employer to maybe come in at a lower rate, to come in at a more attractive candidate to them and prove your value and build up from there. Just one other example of this, where what seems to be a well-meaning rule or law that's promulgated ends up screwing people. Anyway, libertarianism, it's easy. You just, you know, keep government intrusion to a minimum. And as for workplace sex, look, if it's an assault, file a police report. Call the police, your boss gets arrested. Problem solved. And the lawsuit can follow. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, putting in a good word for my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergener. Look, if you get into an accident, if you are injured, if you have been trampled by an elephant, shot by a cop, for example, we're going to be talking about that next segment. Anything bad like that happened to you, you got to get a lawyer. You got to get somebody that is going to fight for you and at the same time have the empathy required to get you through it. And that person is James Bergener. I've known James a long time, years and years. I think I met him 1999, so that's a long time. I've known James, and I can tell you he's a great guy, super sharp lawyer, and most of all, he genuinely cares for his clients. He really does. So give him a call, talk to him, or talk to somebody in his office. They're all good people. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. No recovery, no fee. Consultations always free. Visit his website for more information. Sweet James, the only lawyer to call. Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you from an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. Yes, as I just mentioned, speaking about Sweet James, you know, there you know I've talked about police shootings many times. There was a case in Louisiana where the police officer had shot a black man running away from him in the back. He got 20 years in jail. No excuse. You can't shoot a guy in the back running away from you. Can't do it. So, of course, black lives do matter because all lives matter, because in that particular case, the law was clear. There's nothing else to it. Now, I'll tell you, there was today a verdict that came down in a different matter, and it was one that I thought was actually a real miscarriage of justice. Now, this case has not gotten a lot of media attention because the cop is white and the victim is white. So, you know, when it's white on white violence, we don't talk about it, apparently. This is a police officer at the Mesa Police Department in Arizona. His name is Philip Brailsford. And he shot a guy, Daniel Shaver. So here's what happened. Daniel Shaver's in a hotel room with some buddies, and there's a report of a gun. I think it ends up being an airsoft rifle or something like that. They're all drunk, okay? They're partying, and they're drunk. So the cops show up, SWAT team, got their big rifles, scary assault weapons, the left would call them. They've got rifles, they're ready, and they're concerned that somebody's got a gun. So the man and the woman, I don't know the girl's name, but the man comes out, Daniel Shaver, he's with the woman. They have them first get down on the ground in a prone position, then they have them come up with their hands up. And they get the girl to come over to them, and then they give directions for Daniel Shaver to walk over to them. And here is the clip. I'm just going to warn you right now. It ends with shots being fired. I haven't doctored this clip in any way. I want you to hear what ended up being the last 50 seconds of this man's life. It's very important, and I want you to be the judge of this. So again, if you find this distressing, this is your warning. This is your trigger warning that don't listen. But it's very important to understand the sequence of events. Listen closely.
Okay, young man, listen to my instructions and do not make a mistake. You are to keep your legs crossed. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
You are to put both of your hands, palms down, straight out in front of you. Push yourself up to a kneeling position. I said, keep your legs crossed! I didn't say this in conversation. Put your hands up in the air! You do that again, we're shooting you. Do you understand?
Please do not shoot me.
Listen to my instructions.
Hey, I'm trying to just do what you...
Don't talk! Listen! Hands straight up in the air. Do not put your hands down for any reason. You think you're going to fall, you better fall on your face. Your hands go back in the small of your back or down. We are going to shoot you. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Crawl towards me. Crawl towards me! Don't go!
What does crawling mean to you? Does it mean with your hands up on your knees? I don't think that's crawling. Crawling to me means on all fours. I learned to do it when I was a little before one. Let's talk about this after the break. Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC, talking about the young man, Daniel Shaver. I think he was in his mid-20s when he was shot down by a Mesa police officer, Philip Brailsford. He's given directions to crawl toward Brailsford, but I guess it contradicted the previous instruction for him to stay on his knees with his hands up in the air. The guy's scared out of his mind. You can hear it in the audio of it from the body cam. I'm going to tell you, So the officer had inscribed on his gun, "You're effed," right? So this is, there's a little like a dust cover latch on an AR-15 rifle, that little dust cover. Now, there's probably a term for it. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Dust cover pops open when a shot is fired. So the idea is that you're effed, right, when it pops open. You know, I've done these cases with James. We've handled some high-profile shooting cases, police shooting cases. And I will tell you, for a vast majority of police shooting cases are justified. They just are. In fact, some of the most famous cases that are used in the media to advance some, you know, anti-cop political ideology, most of them are justified shootings. I hate to break it to you. But I will tell you, in the handful of cases that I've personally worked on, I've come across some very scary cops. There are officers out there, and if you're a cop, you've maybe run into a colleague or two over the years who like killing people. I had this happen in the last case that comes to my mind, taking the deposition of this officer who, frightening, has no business being in the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. He's a thug, hiding behind the power of a badge. So we are a country of laws. And like sexual harassment and all this other nonsense, it comes down to the law. It's not about the accusation. It's not about what we feel. It's not about the race or the gender or anything. It just simply comes down to the law. And an officer is given a tremendously wide amount of discretion and leeway, but there has to be an imminent threat to him or others. There just has to be a threat, which is why you can't shoot a guy in the back running away from you. You also, I don't think, can shoot a guy who is following your commands, is scared out of his mind, and is crawling on his hands and knees, and then you tell him to get up, and he starts getting up, and you shoot him. Now, the jury exonerated the officer. And I don't know, juries do strange things. I mean, you know, OJ is a free man. So you tell me, juries don't always get things right. But it is the way the system works, and you got to roll with it. Now, the other thing, unfortunately, though, is you got to remember, just because a case like this doesn't mean the criminal standard, which is the criminal standard of burden of proof, is beyond a reasonable doubt. A preponderance of evidence standard is a lower standard in civil cases. So this guy, his family has hired a lawyer, and they are fighting it. And they may very well win a civil suit. And part of that reason is that the standard of proof is lower in those cases. Just an interesting fact that you might find interesting as well. All right. Gosh, I want to usually end it on a lighter segment, but we just ran out of time, and there's other stuff I want to get to, too. So next week, we're here all 5 days. 5 days next week. Buckle up. We got a whole full week of Sam Nation coming up starting Monday. Have a great weekend, all of you. Thank you so much.
People. News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.